Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Back with you on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. You can visit Advertising Age online at adage.com. This is a Big Radio Midgets production, and we are happy to be talking here in just a little while to Patrick Meyer. Patrick is the co-founder and the chief executive officer of Fusion 5, clearly a marketing revolutionary evolutionary. That's a great title.
It's a great company.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll be chatting with Patrick here in just a few minutes, just past the quarter of the hour. So we're back with you, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
Been a good week for you.
Yes.
A good week for us.
Outstanding week. Yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lots of stuff going on.
You know, if I were to say Nielsen, what would you think? Television ratings, right?
Yeah, Harry.
Yeah, Harry
right.
Nielsen. Yeah.
Harry's company.
Right. Wasn't it Taxi, wasn't it?
No.
No?
He was a singer.
All right, Harry Nielsen, exactly. Didn't he do it? No, anyway. Nielsen Media Research recently announced that it has been awarded a 3-year contract, Ray, to measure radio audiences in Australia. Radio audience in Australia. Anyway, what's interesting about this is the contract, which takes in effect January 2004, was awarded after a competition process by Commercial Radio Australia. Terms were not disclosed. Nielsen Media Research has been measuring radio audiences in Australia for some 30 years.
Okay.
I would have never known that.
So is Arbitron not doing it?
Well, apparently, Nielsen got the business before Arbitron even had a shot at it, but apparently there's a competitor there, Commercial Radio Australia, and they chose to give the business to, Nielsen, who's owned by VNU, Media Measurement and Information, out of the Netherlands. It's a big, big, big company.
Mm-hmm. Is that measured in people or leaders?
Well, that's a good point.
There.
I think it's metric. It is metric.
Let's see. Water goes the opposite way down in Australia,
that's
right?
That's true.
So do radio signals go the opposite way, too? Who
right.
knows?
As you drive away, they get stronger.
These are too many questions,
yeah.
Okay. Goodby takes Saturn beyond the box. You've got to have seen this. You have to have seen this commercial. Particular campaigns have come and gone since Goodby Silverstein and partners took over the Saturn account, but the big concepts and a touch of whimsy have persisted throughout. It's a new spot for the L300. The whimsy gets cranked up a level with some help from the offbeat directorial collective tractor. In it, we see in a world where cars are all generic cardboard boxes.
Mm-hmm, I've seen it.
What a great commercial that
it
is.
It is a great spot.
It's totally unbelievable, yet it really hits the market. It's really believable and really hits home the point.
Well, whenever a car dealer or a manufacturer, I should say, can do a commercial without showing the product and resonate with their consumers, I think that's a good thing. And as you may recall, the breakout of that approach was a spot that preceded the one you just described, Ray, which was with these people walking around their neighborhood and coming out of their driveway as if a car was wrapped around them. And mm-hmm. I think the theme was we've designed a car around your needs and your particular yep. lifestyle.
Look at the way they launched Saturn, too.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it traditionally. They came out with those half-hour infomercials.
Right.
That was genius because that was totally different than anybody was doing.
Right. And then, of course, they have the pricing where it's no haggle pricing.
Yeah.
Which supposedly works, I guess. I don't know. I don't own a Saturn. Do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
But I do understand that that's the way it is, folks. You buy the sticker.
It's a great
want
idea.
The car?
Yeah.
You know, it's a very non-threatening environment to buy the car, mm-hmm. and their commercials reflect a really cool cool look and a cool attitude at mm-hmm. Saturn. So congratulations to those guys, too.
If I were to say Sears and Roebuck, or as they say now, Sears Roebuck.
Yeah.
Of course,
it used to be Sears Roebuck and Company.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think they've just gotten the "and" out of there, and it's Sears Roebuck and Co.
Yeah.
And Co. Anyway, they recently, the Chicago Tribune reported that Sears Roebuck will be advertising in a prominent spot in Chicago Cubs Wrigley Field for the first time. This is unbelievable because it's based in Chicago.
Yeah.
For the first time, infield advertising at the historic baseball stadium since the mid-1980s. I don't know, who pissed off who there, but somebody got angry.
Yeah.
Anyway, reportedly, Sears will be the sole advertiser on two illuminated information signs attached to the roof of the upper deck along the first and third base lines, and the signs will display, of course, league scores, pitch speeds, et cetera. So if you're in Chicago and you're watching
right.
a game or maybe watching on television through, I guess, WGN,
right.
you would probably see the Sears logo. And it's probably a very good buy for Sears because if you get that superstation exposure, there's a Sears probably near you. So it's
there's a Sears everywhere.
Yeah.
There are more Sears than there are Walmarts, or maybe that's not true. I don't know, but it's pretty close.
There's more Sears right now than Kmarts, I would think. Should we say that?
Yeah, want to buy a building? Okay, it's time for our sales guru. His name is Jeffrey Gittimer here on The Advertising Show.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations with Jeffrey Gittimer, nationally syndicated columnist in the network of City Business Journals and other great publications worldwide. If you're offended by common sense commentary, don't you dare listen. Now, here's Jeffrey.
Here's your challenge. Capture your success stories in every way possible. Hey, when you do something memorable in your company or your life, very few people ever know about it. Well, actually, far fewer than when you screw up. How come? It's a simple answer. You didn't tell anybody. You just expect people to find out on their own. And in business, that's a huge mistake. When a memorable event occurs within your company or with a customer, here's a few avenues of exposure that you can capture for others, including all your customers, to see your accomplishments. How about a letter of testimony, or an audio tape interview, or an article in the newspaper, or an article in your own newsletter, or an article in their newsletter, or a call in a talk show report, a blurb on the news, as a part of a testimonial advertising campaign, or a video shoot in their location using your product. Once you capture the event, baby, maximize it. When you do something great, or something great happens, capture it and reproduce it for all to see. So here's the big three steps to take to maximize your exposure and get known for all the good things you do. Number one, document your success. Number two, replicate or duplicate your loyal actions. And number three, tell everyone.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations from The Advertising Show, the only radio show in America featuring Jeffrey Gittimer as a regular weekly guest. To learn more about his books, tapes, CDs, and speaking engagements, log on to Gittimer.com, Gittimer.com. And tune in next week when we'll hear Jeffrey say,
"This is Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you that if no one responds to your ad, it may be because your ad sucks."
There's a guy, never at a loss of words, Jeffrey Gittimer here on The Advertising Show. BuyGittimer.com is his website if you want to find out more about good old Jeff.
You know,
well, he's not that old.
You and I had the I think Bruce, our executive producer, Bruce Abbott, and I had the pleasure of seeing a speaking engagement with Jeffrey Gittimer. And I got to tell you, he knows his stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
He does a good job with
that. Well, he was also at the advertising show, the Marketing Expo,
right.
That was held in Houston. A year ago,
mm-hmm.
So he's good in person too.
He really is.
He's got it all.
And the attitude that you hear on the radio, he doesn't hold back in person.
Oh no,
pretty much. The
oh
same.
No. Yeah. You can learn a lot from Jeffrey.
Yeah,
and that's his commercial right there. Okay.
You know, we mentioned. Do we have much time left, Ray?
Well, at the sound of the music here, which is right here.
Yeah.
We don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Then we'll save that.
But you know, the good news is Patrick Meyer is on the way. Fusion 5, Patrick talking to us today out of Florida, and we'll be back in just a minute on The Advertising Show.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
You know me. Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care if I'm Elmer Fudd. So I carry an American Express card, the one card I need for travel and entertaining.
It is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth as we feature those classic commercials.
That's all, folks.
No, it's not. Our special guest today, Patrick Myers, co-founder and chief executive officer of Fusion 5. Patrick is clearly a marketing evolutionary behind major brand and new product initiatives at the Coca-Cola Company, Daimler Chrysler, Gatorade, Levi's, Gillette, Nike, Ford Motor Company, P&G, and beyond. He's combined senior brand marketing backgrounds with leadership thinking coming out of the Marketing Corps of America to create Fusion 5. And if we were to completely go through all of his bio at this particular point, we'd be out of time for this segment. So, Patrick, on that note, welcome to The Advertising Show.
Thanks. It's great to be with you guys.
Patrick, my co-host Ray had mentioned you were in Florida, but yet you have a special little facility down in Florida. Your company's based out of Westport, Connecticut. Share with our audience, if you would, a little bit about your company and a little bit about your facility that I find so interesting that you work out of down there in southern Florida.
Well, we've got a number of offices around the country. Our main base is in New York and Connecticut. But one of the things we find is that in order to really capture the imagination and really motivate your clients, a lot of times you have to immerse them in different environments or go different places for think tanks and idea generation or get with the consumer. And so one of the places we do is happens to be Miami, both mm-hmm. Latin and also the South Beach, kind of international, culturally forward area. And so down here we have what we call the Fusion 5 Beach House.
Hmm.
And we use it with our clients
and where
we
is
get
that,
with consumers.
Where is that?
It's
on the beach. Right.
You're kidding.
It's
on,
the beach,
it's
yeah.
on an island.
It's yeah,
on
an island between Key Biscayne and Miami.
Yeah. So did you choose Miami?
Is it high tide now or is it low tide?
It's actually a beautiful day and the tide is in.
It's in as opposed to out. That would be high as opposed to low.
Right.
And by the way, we're going to be having a fishing and ski report coming up here the second half of the hour. Wanted to ask you, Patrick, did you choose Miami as an outlet or as a an office because of the international makeup of that community down there?
Well, that's an important part. We do a lot of brand strategy and innovation work, and we do it globally. And we do a lot of work that goes on in South America, Venezuela, Brazil, Chile, different places. But also, you know, Miami is kind of a melting pot where you can get so many different influences coming through here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. If you've ever been to Europe, you see a lot of advertising over there, and most of the advertising coming back to America is visit Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're responding. Houston, our home market here, reminds me a lot of Miami in terms of its diversified cultural makeup.
Sure, we have a beach, too.
That's yeah, true. Right. Not exactly right here, but 50 miles south. So, Patrick, your wonderful company, Fusion 5, which I came to learn about, I guess it was last summer during a reading of Ad Age under the Viewpoint section that you wrote an article that was entitled, or it was a letter, I suppose, that was entitled New Guard Shaking Up Marketing Sacred Cows. And I want to talk a little bit about that in a mm-hmm. second. But before we get into that, what is a cutting-edge marketing company like Fusion 5 all about today? What kind of services do you provide your clients?
Well, we've got a very singular focus, and that's on driving brand growth. And at this time, you know, there are a lot of people working on ad campaigns and promotion and different things. But we do one thing. We use marketing solutions to aggressively drive brand growth. And we've got 80 people here in the U.S. and another 120 worldwide. And we bring solutions to clients on how to drive their business.
Mm-hmm.
So we do everything from insight and connective work to brand strategy, growth strategies, retail reinvention, new products, all the way out to things like episodic and buzz marketing. So really progressive ways to market your brand, but once again, bringing it back to driving your brand growth.
So let's say we have ad agency folks out there listening or clients thinking about their ad campaign.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with thinking an ad campaign can turn around a company's business?
Well, I think that's a really appropriate question right now, because the last year and a half, with the economy dipping and challenging times that we're in, a lot of ad agencies came forward and said, well, you need a new ad campaign. You need another $20 million. Well, you can talk to marketers right now, the progressive CMOs, and they'll tell you that's not the way to get there. You know, it's interesting that more spending is shifting to new forms of marketing, and yet if you're just watching media, you'll say, well, the upfront buy is up slightly. Well, it's because they're shifting their dollars to other places.
Mm-hmm.
So you just can't do it with an ad campaign. You can't do it with a 360 messaging campaign. You have to do a 360 marketing effort that brings it back to retail, that brings it back to motivating purchase.
You know, it's interesting. Right after the events of 9/11 and the downward spiral, unfortunately, of our domestic economy, a lot of what took a back seat, Patrick, I thought, seemed to be the branding effort that a lot of these companies had in place prior to that time. And I'm finding that they're realizing very quickly that maybe that's something that should not have been taking a back seat and something that should have stayed in the forefront of their marketing effort. Did you find that to be the case, and is it coming back today?
Well, that's it. That's exactly true, because we focus on two things: what's going on with the consumer, and the other thing things to focus on is where are CMOs? Where are the progressive CMOs? And you could sense it coming in the last 6 months. A lot of them felt that in the last couple of years, they managed to cut their budgets, cut their spending to get to their profit objectives or get close to them.
Mm-hmm.
And now what they're finding is, oh, my God, we need to run back quickly to innovation because everything feels like it's parity. So everybody's focused on how do I differentiate my brand? How do I bring innovation back and then drive behind it with a 360 marketing effort?
So it really was a matter of a lot of the CMOs getting, and CEOs, I guess, maybe dictating this, of getting conservative and thinking that the traditional way of advertising from years ago is where they were going to fall back to in terms of a more difficult marketing or selling environment, and actually made a mistake in thinking that, I mean, let's face it, if that was a good idea, then I guess you should have been doing it pre-9/11, huh?
Well, exactly.
I mean, innovation, I think, today is something that anyone that's not looking at doing something a little differently than the way it's been done in previous decades is wasting their money, either their own money or their clients' money. Your company is known, Fusion 5, for passion-based connectivity, and I'm going to save jumping into that till after the break. But before we do that, you mentioned marketing solutions to drive a company's growth.
Mm-hmm.
I assume a company like Fusion 5 would help a client determine what their marketing solutions need to be based on what, helping them arrive at various marketing challenges or defining certain problems that a company may have?
Yeah, exactly. You know, a lot of times you sign up going into the year for certain target objectives, you know, volume, share, profit, et cetera. And for a lot of clients, they'll keep doing what they did in the past, a lot of marketers. What we try and help clients do is we do a growth audit. We identify where are the growth pockets so you can meet your objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you get there? So one might be connecting with millennials, a whole new generation. Or it might be how to get greater repeat or greater frequency out of retail, so working with a Walmart or your top customers. Or another might be how do you more effectively communicate, touch, and motivate the consumer. So it's not just advertising, it's 360,
mm-hmm.
using mythology, using buzz, using retail innovation, using promotion innovation, or what we call brand activation.
You know, those are all very innovative terms, and we're going to help define each one of those terms here in a minute. And we're also going to, like I mentioned earlier, jump into passion-based creativity, figure out what all that's about in just a second.
Our special guest is Patrick Meyer. Patrick is CEO of Fusion 5, talking to us today on the beach in Florida, but out of Westport, Connecticut, and out of New York here on The Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. A lot of great features. You listened to Gittimer a little while ago. We've got the wacky world of marketing coming up next. Most importantly, if you can stick around, that would be good for you and your business. On The Advertising Show, stay with us.
World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update for this week brings us to new frontiers in advertising, where a British ad agency began paying college students about $20 for each three-hour stint in which they walk around in public with a company's logo semi-permanently tattooed on their foreheads. And also, another British agency signed up Sony Ericsson to pay for draping its advertising message across large dogs like St. Bernards, Great Danes, etc., whose owners accepted free dog walking service in public parks in exchange for allowing the moving billboards. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I'm Ewell Givens. Many consider me an expert on natural foods like cattails. Yes, they're edible. I look for natural ingredients in my food. That's why grape nuts is part of my breakfast.
This classic commercials and a lot of great advice for today's marketing as well here on The Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. And we are back talking with Patrick Meyer. Patrick is the CEO of Fusion 5. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
And thank you.
Thanks for being with us today.
You know, last time we were talking about cattails, Ray, I don't think it had anything to do with food. Or did it?
Yeah.
No?
It did.
Hey, listen, before the break, Patrick, we were talking, you mentioned growth audit, that you help your clients with a growth audit. How do you go about that? Is that market research that you actually implement yourself, or is that roundtable discussion? How do you go about that?
That's actually all of it. It's a senior marketer team, mix of both market research, insight, brand strategy, and people who've actually run businesses on the brand side.
Mm-hmm.
And what the team will do is climb in, do an assessment, do market research, volume projections. We'll look at various scenarios of what's going on in the brand and come back with a detailed where are the potential growth areas for near-term, mid-term, longer-term.
Mm-hmm. And do you conduct the research yourself with your own company? Is it a division of your parent company, or is it on the client side?
A lot of times we do what we call DNA work. We focus on DNA work that identifies where is a growth, how can you unlock growth with insights. There's a lot of research that's done, but so much of it is either category or traditional stuff. And what we look for are the more progressive solutions and ways to get to insights to unlock growth. So we don't do focus groups. We do what we call DNA insight sessions.
And you know, I want to talk about the delineation of the various translation of growth audit that goes into actual marketing solutions that you recommend. But I want to do that in just a second, since you brought up an interesting subject for me, and that is focus groups. I've had a lot of clients along the way that have said, "Hey, we got to do a focus
group."
That's
because that's all they know.
And it's too sad. It's too
sad.
Bad. It is. And you know, if they only understood. And we've had many branding folks here on the show, and we've heard from, including Patrick, we've heard from others, and a lot of them have said, I can't remember the gentleman's name, Ray. Mr. Pasikoff is who it was.
Bob Pasikoff.
He had mentioned that he could prove that if he sat in a room with other focus group participants, that he could sway the findings and the ultimate outcome of the group. And I've often wondered from 20-some-odd years ago when I sat in my first focus group, I remember seeing one guy there that was tending to be more outspoken, and then you would see the older lady that was rather shy, and then before you know it, everyone's agreeing. And I'm wondering, did we really pay all these people to hear them agree, or are we looking for some diversification?
She came for the sandwich and chips. Okay?
Yeah, I guess. Right, yeah. Back in those days, that would get participants on a sandwich and chip routine. But, Patrick, what is your take on focus groups, and what's good about them, and what's wrong about them?
Well, I'm not sure your audience is ready to hear our point of view, but there was a time that I had worked on tampons many years back and in focus groups, and the next day I was working on diet soft drinks, and I swear that both groups seemed like the same people saying the same thing, and even the insights seemed like they were the same. And my conclusion was that it's pasteurized, homogenized down stuff with average people who go to these focus groups continually, and you're not getting culturally forward, progressive thinking with the right stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you a contrast. We do what we call peer-to-peer DNA groups. So in the case, let's take a beer or a soft drink. If you've got five guys that are all close friends and you give them a sheet to create a montage of their world today, you give each of them digital cameras and you let them put these together or create a diary of their world, their whole week, and these guys do it together. Then you bring them all in and you do a session in a bar or in a VIP club, VIP room of a club. What comes out is a whole different level of insight.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recruit really progressive thinkers, we call them key influencers, the early adopters, the ones that are more trend aware, you get a whole different level of output. The same thing we call it reality TV. What we do is we'll go in and we'll film the pantry and we'll have mom and the family talk about, much like the Osbournes, talk about their world and film it. And what you get back is so much more powerful than a summary coming out of a focus group.
Mm-hmm. So if an advertiser were to be listening right now and they just told their agency to conduct a focus group, how would you politely tell them to not walk but please run from that project? And what do you need to do as an alternative other than call Fusion 5?
Call 911.
But there are a number of people that are out there doing progressive stuff.
Yeah.
But you just have to open your eyes and get deeper and more immersive in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to learn how to bring it back in a way that can motivate management and your whole team. So a summary from a focus group is meaningless. Bring
right.
back a videotape of a handheld in the kitchen with the family talking. Now you got something powerful.
How many standard research firms out there, marketing research firms that you could contact today would say, sure, we can do a focus group for you? 99% of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had one gentleman on the show who insisted that the in-store, you know, when you're stopped in the mall.
Oh, the intercept, yeah. The
intercept mm-hmm. stuff is mm-hmm. good. It's like, no, it's not.
Who's going to stop and
no,
talk to these people?
No. You're totally going back to focus groups,
yeah.
same concept. But
right.
you're just, and you're annoying somebody. How the heck are you going to get good information on something like that?
Right.
But, you know, the key thing that's going on is marketers are yelling and screaming for this stuff. They just don't know how to get to it.
Right. Well, they got to get educated. This is one way here on the advertising show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. We're talking with Patrick Meyer, Chief Executive Officer of Fusion 5. And we hope you can stick around because we have more conversation coming your way in just a minute on the advertising show.
Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth are taking your questions at theadvertisingshow.com. You're listening to The Advertising Show on the SSI Radio Network.
When we decided to get a testimonial for Scotty's, we went right to the top.
That's what I like about a Scotty. It's a tree sneezer.
On the advertising show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, in another classic spot. We always enjoy those old spots. Some good stuff back then.
Yeah.
So Patrick Meyer is our special guest today, CEO of Fusion 5 out of New York, and talking to us today from Miami, Miami Beach. It's a good place.
Yeah.
Anyway, Patrick, thanks for being on the show today. Always fun to have you as a guest on the advertising show.
You know, Patrick, a couple segments ago, you mentioned a lot of phrases that certainly we're familiar with here on the advertising show, stealth marketing and other elements. Go through those one by one as far as some of the ways that you arrive at helping your clients drive their growth once you've gone through those growth audits that you were mentioning.
Well, I guess the first one to start with is brand mythology. It's interesting that a lot of ad agencies will try and communicate everything about the brand in a TV spot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like going out on a date. If you went out on the first date and you learned everything about that person on that first date, you don't need a second date.
It's a very long date, right? Too, isn't
so
it?
So what you need to do is you need to have brand mythology that can be communicated word of mouth. It's way beyond copy strategy, but you need to make the brand intriguing so they want to discover it and talk about it. And, you know, if you take Apple as an example, or let's say Mountain Dew or different car brands, there's a lot of rich mythology underneath. So that's an important piece, is to orchestrate the mythology. Create your story, then keep playing it out in pieces and intriguing people over the next couple of years. Another one that we talk about is episodic marketing. You know, we believe a marketing plan, the way it's done now or in the past, just isn't competitive enough. You need to take your dollars and create individual episodes that connect on a 360 basis, that each of those episodes is kind of like Sex and the City. Each episode is intriguing. People talk about it, and they go out and buy your product.
Mm-hmm.
And each one is underneath a core marketing idea. One idea over 18 months, that's your core marketing idea played out in 6 or 8 episodes over time, using all your marketing dollars in single episodes. Another thing we talk about is retail reinvention, you know. When you look at what's going on now at retail, it's so much clutter. So how do you bring new innovative solutions to retail that causes your product to really stand out and to people to be intrigued, stop, buy it, et cetera? So those are the kinds of things we talk about.
Mm-hmm. So when you mention mythology, can a new product have a brand mythology, or do you have to create that for
it? Oh, you have to create it.
Yeah.
But it has to be on the drawing board from the beginning. I'll give you a great example, is that one of our clients, the Coca-Cola Company, about a year or two back on Powerade, number two brand in the isotonic category, we helped them create a myth behind Powerade. We started with the name. What was the reason for power? And then we created a small symbol equation with hieroglyphics. So energy plus hydration equals power. And that was part of the whole mythology behind it. Mm-hmm. And then we played it out.
Interesting.
You know, I know one of your clients is Daimler Chrysler at Fusion 5. And as you were describing creating a brand's story or myth and letting that play itself out throughout a series of advertisements, I recall seeing not so long ago a commercial that showed the origin of Mercedes and how it had come along through its beginning. And
great commercial.
I'm wondering, did your company, Patrick, have something to do with influencing the agency to take that approach?
Not with Mercedes.
Right.
No. But we have with Jeep, Dodge, and Chrysler.
Are you familiar with the campaign I'm speaking of?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are they pretty much on target, it seems?
Oh, yeah. They do a brilliant job.
Yeah.
I mean, because they do such a good job that the greatest sales force happens to be current owners. Great product, but they also know the whole story, and they'll communicate it to one another at a cocktail party.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned earlier that your episodic marketing model integrates advertising, promotion, events, retail, internet, PR, buzz, and product news, mm-hmm. just to mention a few. I assume that this is not a formula, so to speak, but some of the combination of the elements that I just mentioned are formulated based on the particular needs of the brand, or how do you go about determining that?
Oh, you start with DNA insights. You have to rapidly immerse yourself in your client in the insights on which to build the episodic plan or marketing plan.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to take the positioning and make sure your positioning is evolved into a core marketing idea. Then the agency focuses on what's the communication approach. And then Fusion 5 and other agencies will work on the other components for each of the episodes.
Patrick, we're going to have to take a break here for just a moment on the advertising show. It's our special guest, Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5. Find out more. You can go online right now if you'd like at fusion5.com. Stay with us.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
What's up? Dino's stolen the different vitamins we need to make Flintstones.
Yabba dabba doo, yabba dabba doo. Flintstone vitamins are good to chew with vitamin A, vitamin B.
There you go. Need a great spokesperson? Hire a cartoon character, huh?
Right.
It's been done before. Well, it's been done again, too. Well, we talk about Hank. Hank from King of the Hill, is that
right.
What it is?
Mm-hmm.
Doing the Autolite campaign now.
Hank is one of my heroes.
Yes.
Yeah. I like Hank. And Little Bobby.
Little Bobby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His son. It's a funny deal. If you haven't found, what is it? What's the exact title? It's Hank, Fox. It precedes the Simpsons. And yeah. It's Hank Hill and King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
There we go.
Yeah.
And you can send your check in from Fox Network to Ray and Brad Gets Rich next week.
Just make it with lots of zeros, thank you.
Right, preferably not in the front.
Good talking to Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5. They have a cool website too, Brad, by the way. So go there and find out a little bit more about the company, fusion5.com.
Yeah.
That's Fusion, the number 5. .com. Got to say that.
And if they're smart, they probably have the FIVE.com version. Probably pointing to that same U.S. URL.
We should have asked him.
Yeah, well, maybe send him a note.
Have you seen the Sharon Stone spots for AOL?
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think of those?
Well, it's engaging, but I'm not sure that it really resonates with the consumer from a product offering standpoint. I find that the sex probably brings the viewer in, certainly male viewers.
Yeah.
But do you come away saying, okay, I really understand what that product is?
Yeah.
No,
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
The same thing with the Running Man one before, where they remade the little AOL guy.
He runs onto her spot, too.
Yeah, he does.
At the end, yeah.
He does, but they did the Bionic Man thing before.
Right.
It's like, and the concept was, what the heck did you have to recreate him for? Did he crash? before or what?
You had a problem and they, yeah. I do remember.
Yeah, well, we have a problem there. So.
You know, it's interesting. It's extremely blatant use of sex with her on that spot. AOL, I guess it's not AOL for the internet connection, but it's more for the isn't it for a DSL connection from AOL?
You know, I don't know.
I believe it
is. I don't know.
I believe it is.
Wow.
But anyway, so you can get on AOL and then go to your I guess the big motivator there would be go to your sex sites, because after you're seeing Stone there, that's the only motivation you would have, I suppose. My goodness.
Either that or a quick cigarette after that spot.
Yeah.
Right? Wrong.
No.
Anyway, it's the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. What we do is we look at the good and the bad of advertising. We have our opinions, and you can take them with a grain of salt, or you can take some advice and maybe learn something. This week we are featuring the good stuff.
And now it's time for the Advertising Show's Advertising Showcase, an outstanding example of on-target advertising. For the good stuff, here's Ray and Brad.
So what do we got good for this week, Brad?
Well, Ray, I don't know if you've seen this. I think this spot is just it's great in so many ways. Absolute Vodka has a spot out. It was produced by TBWA Shiat Day out of New York. And
well, you caught my attention with that last part.
Vodka?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's entitled Mulet. And the
Mulet?
Spot, yeah, Mulet. If you
not mullet.
Well, it could be mullet. You know, I'm never
mullet is one of those hairstyles that nobody has.
Actually,
anymore.
It is mullet. Then
it is
you're
mullet?
Exactly right. It is mullet, but the reason I say mulet is because it's an Arabic setting kind of thing. You'll remember this if you haven't seen it if you don't recall it, rather, but you have seen it, you'll remember by me intriguing your memory here for a second. The spot opens, Ray, with a graphic of a bottle of Absolut, which is wrapped around a film spool with the words Absolut Films, which I think is a bit of a takeoff maybe off BMW Films and mm-hmm. some of these others.
Right.
And the action opens with an Arabic guy who's also a hairdresser, singing, of course, in Arabic, with a little caption underneath that translates what he's saying in this burst of singing in the beginning. And the caption reads, "Who loves you, mullet?" I'm going to go with mullet. I think you're right. The voiceover announcer says, "What happens when a man from one world collides with a woman from another?" Mm-hmm. And the drama begins to unfold, and you see that Mullet and her father are now connecting up, and the father's beginning to realize that Mullet is about to marry this hairdresser. So he's a general in some kind of army of some sort or some high elected official. You never can tell. They always wear those army outfits
right,
over there,
exactly.
No matter what they do. Anyway,
the stripes,
I think that's where Michael Jackson got that. Anyway, Mullet gets her hair cut and trying to throw off her father and her pursuers and hoping that she can, you know, camouflage her look. And, of course, who's cutting her hair? The guy that was singing in the beginning, the hairdresser. And the voiceover continues, love, deceit, jealousy, nonstop intrigue. The announcer ends by saying, Absolut Pictures presents Mullet, the hair drama of the year. Now, the spot ends, again, with the same graphic that I opened with, Ray, where it's got the bottle of vodka wrapped around the film spool with the words Absolut Films. What I find so engaging about this spot is the fact that it's in that Arabic kind of setting. So first of all, gets everyone's attention right now.
Oh, sure.
And then, of course, it's a great translation of taking the other Absolut campaign, which was so successful, mm-hmm. and playing off of that and doing something a little different. So
right.
I think it's a great way to transition to a new campaign for Absolut.
Good creative, along with the conversation that we've had with Patrick Meyer this hour. A lot of good thoughts behind advertising, marketing, and the thought process that gets you from start to hopefully never finish, because you really can't.
Describing that spot almost makes you want to go out and have a vodka.
Is that vodka that
you
have right there?
No, it's water.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. No, it's water.
Okay, it's water. I believe that. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit Ad Age online at adage.com. This is a Big Radio Midgets production. Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. Happy to be spending time with you on The Advertising Show. This is The Advertising Show on the SSI Radio Network.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
On The Advertising Show, it's good to be with you today. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit Advertising Age online at adage.com. This is a Big Radio Midgets production. Today, our special guest, Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5. The website for Fusion 5, by the way, is fusion5.com. Go there. Learn.
Yeah, quit
you know,
that.
With so many websites, too, you don't get a taste or a flavor or a really under the skin of what these particular business is all about. At Fusion 5, you really do. I mean, you can clearly see who they are, what they do. They don't hide anything.
It's an example of not only probably being good for your clients, but also being good about promoting yourself and explaining to interested parties what you do for a living.
What a good concept.
So many times we see, especially ad agencies, frankly, that are really good, supposed to be doing great communication, marketing communication.
Right, right.
And it comes for promoting themselves.
No.
No good.
No, that should be a red flag, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. At least a yellow.
A yellow flag, maybe. Yeah. Or whatever you'd like. Anyway, we got Patrick coming your way here momentarily. We got Andy Borowitz coming up. The humor of Andy Borowitz. You can find out more about Andy at Andy Borowitz or Borowitz.com, that is.
No,
BorowitzReport.com.
There you go.
It's somewhere in there, okay?
Do a search.
Just do a search for Andy.
Put parentheses around it.
So, Patrick, we'll be talking to him momentarily here.
You know, Ray, we mentioned in the first hour the Dutch media giant VNU, and the company apparently is recently slashing its business trade magazine group in the U.S. by 2%, closing its trade magazine Point of Purchase and chopping some 13 people from its media and advertising magazines. Really? Of course, I think a lot of people will know these publications that reach our audience as well as the ad community in general, and I'll get to that in a second. The cuts were deepest, Ray, at the company's four media magazines. Five people on the editorial staff of Adweek, Mediaweek, Brandweek, and editor and publisher were fired, amounting to roughly 5% of the 100-person editorial staff. So VNU, who is a huge Dutch company, apparently cutting back on some of their trade pubs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's a sign of the times or what? What do you think?
You know, we're going to be having Gordon Hughes from American Business Media on next week, and we'll talk to him about that because the business publications, as I recall many months ago, Ray, having Gordon on the show, they're usually the first to feel a downturn in the economy and the last to come back. And it's indicative of that industry to, I guess, still be showing a little struggle there.
That'd be a good question for him.
Yeah.
You might have seen this, maybe not. The New York Times has launched an inaugural campaign for its new Knowledge Network. Knowledge Network, it's called, the umbrella brand name given to the publication's various educational initiatives. Full-page print ads carry the tagline, Inspiring Thought, feature close-up shots of familiar scholastic objects like a composition notebook and a stack of books, which convey multiple meanings. One ad, for instance, focuses on the pig skin of a football and bears in the copy, Alma Mater Physical Therapy, Exploitation Role Models. Another showcases a standardized test form and copy that reads standards, sleep deprivation, chaos theory, study skills. Hmm. What they're doing, the executions aim to underscore the newspaper's commitment to enhance the student learning through increased understanding of everyday events. So that's something brand new from the New York Times.
You know, when I hear about these kind of things, I ask myself, do they use their own publication? Of course, but do they use other publications to promote that? Does it mention in the item where else they're promoting this?
I do not know without going deeper into this thing.
You know, a lot of companies will use their own medium to promote themselves, especially major dailies like The Times and others.
Right.
But when it comes to searching outside their own medium, unfortunately, sometimes they don't do that.
Ooh, that's a big mistake. That's a big mistake.
Spread it around, boys.
The lighter side of what's going on. This is called the fake news here on the Advertising Show, and this is Andy Borowitz. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for the Advertising Show, and now here's this week's feature from the Borowitz Report.
A new scientific study appears to confirm what many scientists have suspected for years, that in-laws make no significant contribution to the survival or the betterment of the human species. The study, authored by Dr. William Haggerty of the University of Minnesota, studied the behavior of over 1,000 in-laws during a period of 10 holiday seasons throughout the year, and found that the in-laws, or pseudo-relatives as the study calls them, serve no positive purposes whatsoever. Based on our data, in-laws spend most of these holidays freeloading, eating excessively, and drinking up the contents of their host liquor cabinets, according to Dr. William Haggerty. In exchange for their boorish behavior, the study noted that irritating pseudo-relatives, as they're called, usually offer nothing but extremely inexpensive gifts that they picked up at the last second at the cash register of CVS.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from the Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to borowitzreport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
Andy Borowitz on the Advertising Show. You can also catch Andy on CNN, the Paul is on American Morning. I think he's on Friday mornings for that. Always a laugh.
You know, I love my in-laws, and they're always welcome to my home and my wife's home. And the reason I say that, Ray?
You moved?
No, my mother-in-law listens regularly.
Oh, she does?
Yes, yes. So if you're listening, that little bit on Borowitz had nothing to do with you.
No.
And if your relatives are listening, or your in-laws are listening,
No, I
Ray,
love my in-laws. My in-laws are great.
They listen online back in Cleveland, don't they, at theadvertisingshow.com.
Yes. That's a nice plug. I like
well, thank you.
A stealth plug.
Didn't even know it hit.
Patrick Meyer, CEO, Fusion 5 on the way here at the Advertising Show this half hour. The wacky world of marketing on the way, too. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
You know, MTV, I know you're a big fan. I occasionally tune it in to see what the kids are doing nowadays, Ray. And MTV unveiled its latest program developments recently, giving a green light to several series that they're developing. One unnamed reality show where MTV, listen to this, moves in with newlywed music stars Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey, 98 Degrees, premiering in August, the new Tom Green talk show, a one-hour nightly show.
Tom Green has a new talk show.
He will be on MTV, one-hour night, starting June 12th. So some of the other new pilots that they're working on includes When I Was 17, which is surveying celebrities on their lives at the age of 17.
That
interesting concept.
Too,
yeah, could
right.
be. If they were surveying you or me, it would be where? At some little juvenile delinquency home?
No.
Oh, I'm just guessing.
I was
in your
a
case.
Band, but I never
You were in a
trouble.
Band?
Yeah.
I was in a band, too, but it wasn't called a band. I think it was called a...
it was a mob.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
And High School Stories, which is scandals, pranks, and controversies on high school pranks and mishaps from across the country. Once again, if they had some old black and white 8mm... You and I probably would be on that.
Yeah, probably so.
And then they have some other shows, but it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to keep an eye. Currently, MTV's breaking out of the mold there and going to be getting some interesting programming coming up this fall.
And the Michael Esseney show, too. We always comment about that. Too.
From the E! Channel, yeah. We're trying to get Michael on the show, and we're going to see if we can't do that.
I hope so. But in the meantime, a great guest today, Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5. Out of New York, he's talking to us today at the plant down in Florida.
Right.
All right? Stick around. We'll be right back on the Advertising Show.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Good morning. Oh, you're not my daisies.
Right, Mother Nature. They're Chiffon's new daisy servers. Taste.
Oh, it's my sweet, creamy butter.
Nope, it's new chiffon margarine. Chiffon has the fresh churned flavor of butter.
It's chiffon margarine, not butter. Oh, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Featuring the classic stuff and the new stuff here on the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Happy to be with you today. Patrick Meyer is our special guest. Patrick is CEO of Fusion 5. Happens to be in Miami during this program, based out of New York and actually all over the world, too. Over the last 8 years, Patrick has led Fusion 5 to its relentless focus on aggressive brand business growth through innovation out of insight. Get that, innovation out of insight. He now leads North American and global efforts for Fusion 5 across 8 offices and 600 people, a team of 600 nationwide. So, Patrick, it's good to have you on the show today. Thanks for being a part of the Advertising Show.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, we mentioned earlier that we came to know you, Patrick, from an article that you wrote last, I say article, I guess it was a letter, a viewpoint letter that was sent to Advertising Age last summer. And you mentioned in the article, I guess the headline here, New Guard, Shaking Up Marketing Sacred Cows. Now, obviously, the emerging new guard that you were referring to in marketing today, you suggest that we should all be challenging all of the sacred cows of advertising and marketing. What sacred cows exactly are you referring to, Patrick?
Well, it's easy. You can start with advertising.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, there are a lot of big agencies that are obsolete in our estimation, a lot of clients' estimation. There's some good big agencies, for sure, but start with advertising. Just doing advertising blindly and assuming that your business is going to be there is one sacred cow. Also, traditional media and how you take advertising creative and put it out there, doing it in the traditional way. You've got to rethink how you use media and the marketing mix to drive your business. Other solutions at retail and how you launch new products and how do you get people to talk about you. There are so many traditional things that marketers do because they've grown up over the last 10 or 15 years in brand management and agencies. You got to come at it a whole new way. But what we see is that, you know, probably about 10% of marketers out there, CMOs, the progressive ones, are really challenging how things are done. And then slowly that echoes out through Ad Age and other publications where the leaders are talking about what they're doing, like a Steve Heyer at Coke or Jim Schreier at Daimler Chrysler. They're doing progressive things, and the rest of the marketing community sees it, and they start to adopt some of those new techniques.
How long has this been going on, do you think? 2, 3, 4 years? How long?
Yeah, I think it began 2, 3 years ago when the economy, well, both 9/11, then the economy dipping. It's been a challenging time for marketers.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it, over the last several years, every marketer, every CMO is focused on his monthly and quarterly profit and sales objectives. And they weren't quite as savvy or quite as focused on them years back. That's because everybody's butt's on the line
mm-hmm.
to deliver. So you challenge every bit of marketing spending and everything you're doing. We call it zero-based marketing, you know, which is when you come into a new year, take all the stuff you've done in the past, set it off to the side, and build your marketing plan fresh. So everything you're doing, every dollar you spend is designed to drive your brand and business growth.
So you don't leverage any accomplishments from the year before?
Well, no. There are a lot of things that you may have done last year. Learn from what you've done, but make sure you bring them into this year, fund them adequately. Think about all the sport and entertainment properties that big companies religiously carry from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Those are dollars that are sitting there that aren't, in many cases, working marketing dollars.
That's a good point, and difficult to measure as well as far as the effectiveness of aligning yourself with a strong sponsorship of a professional sporting team. You know, you mentioned in describing the sacred cows out of the box, you mentioned ad agencies. Your parent company is WPP, correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, of course, anyone listening that knows WPP, one of a few major holding companies of advertising agencies around the world, I think that's very you stick your neck out, I guess, to make that kind of comment. Do you feel that all agencies under the WPP banner, so to speak, are in line with your thinking?
Well, the key piece is to go to the philosophy of WPP. If you've heard Sir Martin Sorrell, talk in the last year or two, he'll tell you it's not about buying and building the biggest mega agency. He's focused on how do you build your client's business, and that's why they've got a broad array of diversified assets in the form of insight, strategy, research, innovation, et cetera. And the big agencies inside of WPP are very progressive. And we'll team, Fusion 5 will team with an Ogilvy
mm-hmm.
you know, to work on brands. So the solution you get when you put Ogilvy, an agency that really gets it, 360, with Fusion 5 is a whole different level than what you get with just a traditional ad agency on its own, trying to work in tandem with other agencies that the client has.
It's not just a 2X, it's a 10X
yeah.
improvement. You being commonly owned by WPP, you and Ogilvy, do you find that there's less resistance and easier to partner up with a company that has common ownership, so to speak?
Well, it makes it easier, but it comes down to the people. Because first and foremost, your client needs to win. They need the collaboration. second, the Ogilvy team, for example, working on Miller or working on Sprite with us, as we build the relationships with them, it comes down to people, right? Common mission and good people working together, and that makes it work. And then the client wins, and everybody wins.
Who drives that relationship? Is it a true partnership, or does the agency engage and ask for a certain help in specific ways to Fusion 5, or do you offer direction with regard to various growth or marketing solution opportunities?
Well, I'll tell you that usually it's driven by the client. In other cases, other marketers are always trying to get to that collaborative solution, mm-hmm. and the agencies and everybody oftentimes fights. For us, it's Ogilvy and Fusion 5 coming together saying, hey, we can do a better job for you if we team. That then brings more business to us and to Ogilvy. So it's easier on the client. You know, you still have to really work hard week to week. But a lot of times it's us collaborating because we know it's a better way for the client.
Do you have relationships with companies outside of the WPP?
Mm-hmm. I'm a Cresser. We work with BBDNO out of Detroit. And, initially it was challenging. But once again, if you take the client leadership and BBDNO and Fusion 5 and the other agencies working on Daimler all care about Daimler Chrysler winning, then we all get there. And that's the way it's been over the last couple of years. And we focus on driving the business, and it's a win for the client.
You mentioned was that driven by the client, that association, or was that driven by the agency?
Initially, it was the client setting up the opportunity for all of us to team. And then we've all come together, and it comes down to the people. You know, we like the people that we work with at the other agencies at Daimler Chrysler.
So did you have to pitch, or did you get invited to pitch the account, or were you did you pursue that as a new business opportunity? How did that come about?
Well, we're fortunate because there are very few companies that are focused on aggressively driving brand growth and are as progressive, innovative, and insight-driven and skill sets that we have. So it's not like you can go and find other Fusion 5s to say we need, you know, one of you five to come in and we're pretty unique.
Yeah,
the second thing
right.
is that you know we're very selective in who we work with. We don't want to work with everybody. We want to work with clients that get it, that are ready to really do some bold thinking and to really drive their business hard.
Well, that's interesting points. After the break, I want to talk to you about how to turbocharge your ad agency. If you're a client and you're thinking about some of the things Patrick's talking about today, there's a great way you can go about it, and Patrick will share that with you after
and
the break.
And it doesn't come in a bottle either.
It's a can, isn't it?
It's a can, exactly. On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and we are talking with Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5. Fusion5.com, that's Fusion, the number 5.com is Patrick's website. Go there, find out a little bit more about the company, too. Hope you're listening either live on the radio or live streaming. We stream at theadvertisingshow.com. That's also the place where we take your email questions throughout the week, too. Hope you can stay with us, The Wacky World of Marketing, and more with Patrick Meyer coming up next.
And now, it's time for The Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update for this week brings us to new frontiers in advertising, where a British ad agency began paying college students about $20 for each three-hour stint in which they walk around in public with a company's logo semi-permanently tattooed on their foreheads. And also, another British agency signed up Sony Ericsson to pay for draping its advertising message across large dogs like St. Bernards, Great Danes, etc., whose owners accepted free dog walking service in public parks in exchange for allowing them moving billboards. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. You're listening to The Advertising Show on the SSI Radio Network.
Cut. Reload. That's a complicated-looking machine, isn't it? Funny thing is, a lot of people still think that taking home movies is that complicated, too. If that were true, believe me, I wouldn't take them. For instance, He's reloading the film. Let me show you how easy Kodak has made it for you and me with a Kodak Instamatic.
Okay, that was pre-VCR, pre-digital, pre-everything, and that's a great spot from Dick Van Dyke.
I think it was pre-TV, too, wasn't it?
No, TV was on at that point in time. Our special guest here on the advertising show, Patrick Meyer. Patrick is CEO of Fusion 5, talking with Patrick about his concept for marketing, and it's very interesting because it goes well beyond, and as he said just a moment ago, it is, I mean, how many Fusion 5s are out there? One.
Right. In many locations, but one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, before the break, if you're an advertiser, be it with an agency or have your own firm within your own marketing and advertising staff within your own company, or I don't know, who knows, would they actually be eking out a living without some kind of professional help? I sure hope not.
No, I don't think so.
But if you are an ad agent, a client, and you have an ad agency, and you're hearing Patrick describe this out-of-the-box way of thinking and wanting to get more out of your ad agency, Patrick, how would you recommend a client go about turbocharging their agency to get them up to speed as you're describing they should be?
Well, I think probably the best way to do that is give you an example, a live example. I was with the president of a division of one large company, and he said, Patrick, I'm frustrated. We're able to move our dollars to focus on retail to get a little bit more drive in our business as we move into the new year. He said, we're also doing things different in many different ways in our new products and what we're doing with media innovation. We're trying to push out new packaging, et cetera. He said, my biggest problem is that the agency isn't getting it. And he said, I can't change the agency because they go all the way up to the president, CEO of the company, and the board of directors, et cetera. They've been there for eons. And he said, what do you do? And I said, well, let me just give you a simple plan. And this is what we did with them. I said, first, get the agency grounded in where the consumer is. Because a lot of times the agencies are kind of in that ivory tower, just like clients can be, and not in touch with what's going on. So I said, ground them in consumer insights, connective insights as to where the consumer is today and tomorrow. So taking the agency and the client and everybody out on immersions and getting into the consumer's world. Second thing is create tenets, operating tenets for everybody in the marketing group and the agency and everybody involved with the brand on the do's and don'ts of how you drive the business and connect, right? Connect to them coming right out of the insights. The third thing is don't let it be an ad-driven marketing effort. Focus on a marketing plan that's a core marketing idea-driven effort, and then the agency has one part in that. Then bring in other members of the team and all work in what we call the episodic marketing plan. Next thing is build an innovation pipeline, right? In other words, involve the agency with other marketing people on innovative forms of media and packaging and new connective ways to touch the consumer. And then the last piece is communicate to your agency exactly what you're expecting from them. Not 360 messaging or idea-centric or creative-centric marketing, but 360 marketing effort and the role of advertising in that. Because a lot of agencies don't understand that just because you have one creative look in many different vehicles, that doesn't mean it's integrated or it's powerful. What you need is a 360 marketing effort, right?
I think one a good example of that, too, looking back at some of the classic spots were the Taster's Choice commercials. Every one of those, and the man and the woman, this goes back several years, but they were. There was something going on in each one, and you wondered what was going to happen next.
Continuity, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess in today's world, Patrick, it's when you talk about 360 degrees, it's connecting up in a variety of media, including new media, internet, et cetera, as well as stealth marketing and various other ways, not just one way, but a multitude of ways of connecting up with your consumer and making sure that that it's driven, I guess, by the, as you mentioned, the tenets, the do's and don'ts that connect with the core values of the customer. I guess the key there is getting after what those core values are, which are not so as easily achieved as one may think. It takes a company like yours and an approach that you have, which certainly is novel, to being able to define those. You mentioned earlier in the interview that you mentioned the name Steve Heyer, and of course, Steve is not bashful about speaking his mind. Of course, for those that may not know Steve, he is the CEO of Coca-Cola Incorporated, or Coca-Cola...
The president.
President, okay, thank you. He also was the keynote speaker, I guess, at Madison and Vine conference, which was held at Beverly Hills Hotel recently. And what got a lot of play at his keynote speech was, in fact, his speech. It was entitled A Manifesto for a New Age of Marketing, mm-hmm. and it's been talked about and written about, and I've seen varying points of view, some suggesting that it is really 21st century marketing all rolled into one speech. Others suggest that it's maybe a little too far out there. We just have a minute in this segment left, so I don't want to jump into it in a great detail. I want to hold that for the next segment and go through point by point of what he brings up, Patrick. But overall, what was your take on his speech? Did you agree with what he said?
Exactly. He's speaking our religion. You know, he has us working on many different things at Coke, you know, because he's one of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's Fusion 5 thinking coming up through what he's saying. But it's indicative. Jeff Bezos in New York Times about 3-4 weeks ago announced that they were leaving advertising to focus on driving word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big wake-up call.
We are on the Advertising Show here. It's Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth talking with Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5. Stick around. We'll be right back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Colgate toothpaste, the tooth toughener. How can that be? Well, it contains advanced MFP fluoride. It's the only toothpaste that does, and it does toughen tooth enamel.
As one of the granddaddies of radio and television advertising, Arthur Godfrey.
Arthur.
Almost as old as you are, Brad.
Oh, please, he's dead.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot. Okay.
Thanks.
Back with the Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Actually, I am older than Brad. All right.
Thank you.
Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5, talking to Patrick. They're at a really cool facility. It's actually a cabana down in yeah. Miami Beach. But no. It's a really cool place, all part of the process of working with Fusion 5. And, of course, they have offices in Westport, in New York as well. And of all the places,
do you know about
Patrick,
Nexium,
sure
the purple pill?
Sure, I know.
I know.
Boy,
well, Patrick,
am I glad I know.
Break, we talked about
I just wish I'd known sooner.
Isn't it time you knew? Talk to your doctor about Nexium, esomeprazole magnesium to be scientific. Find out if Nexium is right for you. Or call 1-888-PURPLE-PILL. Remember the number, or call right now. 1-888-PURPLE-PILL.
Did you help him with his speech at all, since it aligns so much?
The following conversation is real. It took place on January 19th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
And a lot of our thinking, a lot of their beliefs, we developed over the last 4 or 5 years ago. In the last year or so, Steve and his team have become more aggressive. We've been right there as a partner.
Well, it must be rewarding to see that all of your effort over the past many years has...
When you have OnStar, an advisor can call for help in an emergency and provide assistance in many other situations.
Would you like for me to stay on the line until emergency personnel arrives?
Speaking
to,
just let me know when they get there. Groups. And,
thank you.
Let me get, for those that may not be familiar with that particular speech, and let me hit the highlights here and maybe talk a little bit about it.
OnStar is available in many Chevrolet cars and trucks. Visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com for details.
I spoke with the same dispatcher who said that
for a new approach to connecting with audiences and consumers.
OnStar, always there, always ready.
Hire contends around media cost efficiencies.
I hate potholes as much as the next guy, but at least I know where to get things repaired. Pep Boys.
Manny Moe and Jack help Brian.
And Pep Boys always has something going on. Like right now, I can get $50 off strut installation, or Gabriel Shocks installed free. Sweet.
Import or domestic, we'll help you get the most out of your car. Our ASE certified technicians use the best parts and equipment.
Free installation on Gabriel Shocks, or $50 off strut installation. See store for details.
Pep Boys, we're car people.
Wholesale unbundling. Is this a challenge in today's media world for most advertisers?
Oh, it is. It is, because if you take the traditional approach, you'll continue to do reach and frequency. But what you really need to do is you need to reach out and touch the consumer's emotions.
On TV, I learned Febreze doesn't just eliminate odors in fabrics. It can freshen the whole house. It's so easy, a dog does it. So I tried to teach my husband how to use it. Fat chance. Any advice? Signed, Dog Tired.
Dear Tired, spray Febreze all over so he enjoys the freshness. Then show him the bottle, repeatedly. When he uses it, say, good boy. Men respond to praise. Febreze, the more you use it, the more you love it.
And that's what he's talking about. And you can't do that in the traditional way. You got to take the traditional, innovate it, break it wide open, and then you got to take the non-traditional and mix it in. So you've got a really fresh way of intriguing and letting them be intrigued by your brand, discover your brand, become an advocate for your brand.
You know, Steve also mentions the erosion of mass markets, and certainly that's something that should be no surprise to any marketer out there. And the empowerment of consumers who now have an unrivaled ability to edit and avoid advertising and to shift day parts. I think that's a very critical point in today's media environment. I guess we're alluding to not only choices and media choices. If you're on the internet, you can't be watching TV at the same time, as you know, Ray. But yet, we're also talking about things like TiVo and things such as this, aren't we, Patrick?
Exactly. It's all about following the consumer. If you understand how they think and what their passions are and how to touch them, you gear your whole marketing plan around how they think and how they act, and the solutions are there. But you have to be innovative, and you have to follow the consumer insights.
In the 1 minute that we have left, Patrick, if you could give a piece of advice to an advertiser that's listening that maybe has not taken this approach and has an eye-opening thought now, having heard you talk for the last many minutes, what would your advice be?
I think the biggest thing is to go back to how do you drive your business aggressively, growth-wise, and then everything you do should be around that, how you allocate your dollars, your marketing dollars. If it's not capable of driving your business, don't waste your time. The next thing I would do is I'd focus on the DNA of the consumer, not research, DNA that connects you today and tomorrow. And then I'd focus on innovation.
We are just about out of time here for this segment. Patrick, thanks for being a part of the show today.
Thank you.
Patrick Myers, CEO of Fusion 5 with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. But wait, there's more. Stay around.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
What is this, a sleepwalking contest? Where's your laugh, your jab? Come on, kid. Wake up.
Hey, I beat it, Dad.
If you need waking up.
There you go, a classic spot on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth. And thanks again to Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5 out of New York, talking to Patrick at the villa on Key Biscayne.
Oh, yeah.
In Miami or South Beach.
You have to go down and visit him one day.
Yeah. Like, how about like right after the show today? Okay.
I think there's a Saturday night flight to Florida.
I think we need to do that. No,
but we could always take Continental, Trailways.
God. Thanks.
Is that still around? I think it's great.
No, I think Continental still exists. Trailways. You're sure it does. Yeah, I've seen those buses before.
Yeah.
Gordon Hughes is going to be our guest on the 26th, next Saturday. Gordon is president and CEO of American Business Media, a fascinating man and a great guest to have on the show. Hope you can make it a point to be with us on the 26th for The Advertising Show.
You know, about a little over a year ago, I had the pleasure of meeting Gordon in New York when we were up there to meet with the fine folks at Ad Age, and their offices are just up the street from Ad Age. And Gordon, you walk into his offices, mm-hmm. and right there in the lobby, you would think you're at a magazine stand because he uh-huh. does represent some. We'll find out next week, but some hundreds upon hundreds of magazine titles. So when you walk into his office there, at least in the entryway. Mm-hmm. It looks like a magazine stand.
Sells candy bars and stuff too, right?
Well, you would think, but no, tobacco is what he does, just to keep it with the magazines. No, not really. But he can't put them all. I asked him about that. I said, how do you decide which ones you're going to put up there? And he said, well, we just can't put them all. We just try to put the ones that that we think people would be interested in. Remember when you and I were in Chicago at the Advertising Age offices there?
They had a nice magazine rack.
They did. And interestingly enough, they had all Crane publications up there. I didn't understand that. No.
Well, let me explain.
Yeah.
Okay? No problem. Hey, speaking of Chicago, you talked before about Wrigley Field and some stuff there too. For the first time, Miller Brewing Company is displaying stuff. Did you know that?
Well, they're displaying some TNA on television, I know.
Yeah, no, but they're doing, and we forgot to ask Patrick about that.
Yeah,
that's okay.
It's one of his clients.
Displaying advertising that can be prominently seen while watching the Chicago Cubs play at Wrigley.
Really?
The billboard, visible from inside the ballpark from right field, was occupied by a local car dealership since the mid-'80s, and they gave it up, apparently. The outdoor display is controlled by the Ozag family, which owns the building behind the field where the billboard is located, on the roof. While spending was not revealed, media sources pegged the cost of the board at up to $50,000 a month. Wouldn't that be a nice little residual to have on top of your roof?
Sounds like a price increase is what drove the local car dealer off there. We've all seen those games where the people on surrounding areas are sitting in bleachers and on folding chairs and so forth.
Sure.
It would have been a nice – I would imagine there's some great history there on, yeah, we bought this building back in the 20s for, you know –
$2,000.
Yeah, exactly. And currently we make $2,000 per season per seat on the top there.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, hoping to convince media buyers, Ray, that they can achieve broadcast-like reach and cable without increasing frequency, which would have been a good subject last week.
What are we doing here? We're recapturing our youth. I just realized how accustomed I've become to the meditative whisper of my Train XLI cooling system. That variable speed motor makes it really quiet, huh?
Introducing the newest version of its Media at the Millennium software.
But I thought we were recapturing our youth. That's why plastic surgery was invented.
Of course, it
must be. Some air conditioner. The Train XLI. It's hard to stop a train. Visit us at www.train.com.
That they could be achieving more cheaply on cable.
Right.
So, once again, I think if you recall Kevin Barry a few weeks ago mentioning how cable's trying to make themselves the first choice when it comes to television, and here Turner Broadcast Sales is suggesting that they have software that can help you figure it out. So I got to tell you, cable's getting aggressive here, and I think it's good that they do that because they have a, you know, we talked to Kevin about the 50%+ share of cable, but you always have to keep in mind, Ray, when you talk about broadcast representing the other 50% approximately, we're talking about, you know, four major networks, Fox, ABC, CBS, and NBC, versus how many cable networks that you'd have to look at accumulatively.
Billions.
Yeah, billions.
Billions.
But cable has come a long way, and it's all about actually improving in programming. They've done a great job with that.
Oh, they certainly have.
And they've given folks with the networks a reason to shore up in terms of their programming efforts.
I think it's important, too, to remember if you are using cable, it behooves you to make sure you've got good creative.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so very true because I don't want to slam the cable production facilities, but they are not as qualified as, you know, a little bit bigger production house might be to help out with something like that.
I think the reason for that, Ray, is unfortunately cable is an entry point for a lot of TV advertisers, and they poor boy their production and end up getting a poor execution. But
yeah, that's a bad taste.
That's for another show.
Yeah, it sure is. Hey, here's some good news. Wisconsin firing anti-smoking salvos. Wisconsin revealed a new statewide anti-tobacco advertising campaign today.
All for that.
And if this were the Cigar Dave show, we wouldn't be saying that, of course. But it's not, so we are. So way to go.
Long ash.
Wisconsin. The Advertising Show. Our guest today was Patrick Meyer, CEO of Fusion 5. Yeah, Gordon Hughes coming up next week. That's Saturday the 26th, president and CEO of American Business Media. Remember, throughout the week, as you listen to this radio station, you can find out some answers to your questions by simply emailing us at theadvertisingshow.com. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show, sponsored by Advertising Age Magazine on the SSI Radio Network.